All right, let's move on. My next guest is a writer and political and social commentator and the author of a fascinating book, No White Lies, Black Politics and White Power in South Africa. In it, Kim Heller writes about a number of topics which will certainly have some South Africans shifting uncomfortably in their seats, at topics such as white privilege, land expropriation and economic transformation. There's likely to be further seat shifting thanks to article headings such as It's Time for White South Africans to Find Their Moral Compass, My Dear White South Africans, It's Time to Return the Land, and White Privilege is the Oxygen of the DA. So what does Heller want to achieve with the book, and what has been the response to it so far? Let's find out as we welcome Kim Heller to Weekend Breakfast. Kim, very good morning to you. Lovely to have you with us.
Thank you. Lovely to speak to you. I feel quite mentally exhausted after all those riddles. I'm glad you're not asking me for my contribution on that. Far too much hard work.
It's early for that, but people are up early these days. Listen, Kim, I think the book is fascinating. I really enjoyed it. Thought provoking, and some uncomfortable. You make some uncomfortable comment in the book, which I think some people will find uncomfortable. What are you trying to do with this book? Is it simply a commentary on the state of politics in South Africa, or do you want to change people's minds on views that they might hold?
Yes, I like how you phrase the question, because it's not just a recording of the status quo or the state of the nation, but it's almost imploring people to engage on very difficult questions that we tend to avoid. And especially around, we just celebrated Freedom Day for the 27th time, but yet we're in the most unequal society in the world. And we have to start asking difficult questions. And I write primarily, as you say, about white privilege, which is a phenomenon that most white people don't even acknowledge and dislike talking about. But I describe it as a pandemic. We speak about COVID as a pandemic, but the pandemic of white power, illicit white power, and unearned white privilege causes deep discomfort and deep pain for Black South Africans, not only historically, but in the current context. And those are questions we need to address and answer honestly. So I'm hoping to shift uncomfortably the white consciousness in this country. That's my primary objective, to say to white people in particular, face your unearned privilege and let us put together a set of reparations for the atrocities committed under apartheid and colonialism, whether you did it or not, whether it was your forefathers, you benefited from it. And that's why I speak in my book about every white South African, past, present and future, as children of privilege.
You are very direct in the book, and I just want to read a little bit from one of the articles, White South Africans Must Find Their Moral Compass, which was published in August 2017. On the eve of the general election of 2014, I publicly called on white South Africans to support land return and economic liberation. I do not consider myself a better white. There's no such thing. I'm a commonplace white South African who is simply wedded to authentic social and economic redress in a land my forefathers took by force. I am, like all white South Africans, the perpetual progeny of privilege in a nation gagging on poverty. There's going to be people listening into this conversation, Kim, who vehemently disagree with you and think that you are stirring and think that you are potentially race baiting. And I think lots of other unpleasant things that they might say about you. As you go on to say, you've been labelled a race traitor, a dirty communist, etc., etc. So my question really around this book and others like it and conversations based on the topics that you talk about in this book is, do we end up reaching the people who really need to hear this, the things that you're talking about, or do we find ourselves in something of an echo chamber of people who think and agree with a lot of the things that you say, or certainly are open to hearing them? Is this book going to find itself in the hands, in the laps of the people that you necessarily think would benefit from a shift in focus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a very, very good and multi-pronged question.
Yes, very, sorry.
You know, I love the, you know, for an old blonde person, you know, let me try and grasp
the complexity of that at this time of the morning. But I think your first question about race baiting is fascinating, and I have been accused of that, as if my book is now showing or causing racial divisions, as if there is no example of that in society.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I'm merely pointing out the fact that racism is a pandemic that hasn't been treated. I mean, and it's not just my opinion. It's factually, it's a fact. If we look at the land, it's owned by 70% of white, by white people, although they're a tiny minority in the country. So racism isn't just a opinion. It's a real societal material monster, actually, that dominates our society. And it's quite sickening because 27 years into democracy, we haven't dealt with this monster, and we don't want to. So people can villainize me, and I don't have a problem with that. I'm a strong person. But it doesn't take away the fact that there are millions of black mothers that go to bed without feeding their infants, not because they can't or because they're lazy, but because they have been oppressed and damaged by the structural racism that is their everyday breath, and that we, which we don't face. So we are still living in the aftershock of apartheid and colonialism, and white people are still benefiting from that unjust system in a democracy of today. And that's a tragedy, and it hurts me even as I speak about it. You know, it feels like it destroys my soul, and it should be destroying the soul of every South African, particularly white South African. But am I reaching the right people? The truth is, I don't think so, because white people generally don't like this book. So perhaps I am failing, and perhaps we need to say, is there white? Do white people have a moral compass? It's a question I raise in my book, and I'm not sure what the answer is, because for the majority of white people, I would say sadly, no, they don't want to engage on these issues. They don't want to face themselves and say, you know, it's time for me to actually face what my privilege has done to my fellow black South Africans. And most people aren't willing to do that. In fact, most white people aren't willing to even face their privilege, never mind look at steps to say, let us return stolen goods. Let us look at this land situation. You know, I'm sitting on 25 acres in Sandton or Sea Point. And just around me are all these dreadful squatter camps. And we have young kids burning to death in shack fires because they're so congested. That is the making of white power and privilege, actually, and we have to face those realities.
Kim, let me ask you this. Where do you believe, sorry, I'm very aware of the time, where do you believe that we should be or we could have been in terms of social and economic transformations 27 years into a democratic South Africa?
I think we could have, I think the government has been very timid to address black needs, actually. And I think they're very timid and are still promoting white interests. And that's also a statement that is very controversial. But they haven't shifted the economy. So I think land should have been returned. Land justice is something that we need to face, as unpalatable as many people find it to be. And because people cannot be economically independent if they don't have land. It's the basis of so many freedoms and so much dignity. And second of all, the economy should have been transformed. We still have 90% of state procurement in white hands. These things should have been actively challenged. We're still seeing apartheid contracts operating throughout most of our SOEs. So it's not rocket science to have made these changes, but there hasn't been that. I mean, even the allocation of a government budget hasn't been strongly enough geared towards previously disadvantaged township areas, which still remain today totally disadvantaged in terms of government budget. So I think the government must take responsibility for moving at a snail's pace. I mean, we understand there's the Goliath task of dealing with apartheid atrocities. It's a legacy that's going to take some time to do. But if we look in a different country, we have Thomas Sankara within 4 years totally transforming his country for the good and made fundamental structural changes. But we haven't done that here.
Kim Heller is my guest this morning. She's the author of No White Lies, Black Politics and White Power in South Africa. Rob, texting from the DRC, says, wow, finally someone is speaking the truth. Thanks for giving her a platform, SJ. This lady is very well-meaning, but saying nothing new or shockingly unique. So it's her monologue on how bad she feels. Every well-meaning person knows what she's saying, but no one gives a solution, not even her. How do we give land back, for example, in a practical way? No one has written that book yet, says ES. And somebody else saying, a nation gagging on poverty due to wholesale looting by privileged blacks. Whites did not cause this problem. The book is available off the back of that text message. The book is available at Exclusive Books. You've become quite disillusioned with politics in the past, it seems. Kim, perhaps I'm wrong. You've been an ANC supporter and an EFF supporter. Does a political party exist in South Africa today that you feel confident in and in supporting?
No, not really. I mean, I think there is some hope in the EFF if they steer themselves correctly. I do think that there's some radical promise. And that probably would actually make many of your listeners totally nauseous for me to say that. I think the ANC, there's very little hope in. And, you know, it pains me to say that because I was a devout member of the ANC. Mm. But I think it's a party that holds no promise. And what I would like to see, if I could put out my political magic wand, is a group of black consciousness parties emerging and working together to put the dignity of a black child first. Because that hasn't been done for the last 365 years since colonialism arrived on this, on our land.
You've said before, Kim, that sorry to interrupt. You said before that Julius Malema is a politician that you hugely admire. Why is that? What qualities does he have that you find admirable?
You know, I think that we like to villainize people, including somebody like Malema. I've worked directly with him, and he is one of the most intelligent people I've ever met. He's also seen as, you know, he's often described as lacking intelligence. Very smart, very astute, very in touch with the people. I've been at many rallies with him where he's, you know, deeply, deeply loved by ordinary people. And that's something that the ANC has lost.
I want to ask you, Kim, before we wrap up, were you ever somebody, if I take you back to 1994, were you ever somebody who bought into the idea of the Rainbow Nation?
Yes, I did, actually. Mm. I mean, I was very actively involved in 94. I even worked, I think I say in my book, as a very junior researcher with Madiba on the election. And I certainly did. I believed in reconciliation. But I think I was naive. And it's not that I don't believe in reconciliation. It's just that I don't believe in reconciliation without economic and social justice. That has to come first. So we have had a reconciliation based on hope, but not based on any substance, not based on any level of justice in this country. And that is why I say we have a stillborn democracy, because we have to treat the wounds first and treat them properly. And we have never done that. So I believe in reconciliation after social justice, not before.
And that's one of the titles of the article. Kim, I'm so sorry that we've run out of time. I could speak to you for the rest of the hour, and I've really enjoyed dipping into this book. It's fascinating. It's a collection of, how many are there? 30, gosh, you can tell me, 30-something articles that you've written over the years. People asking for me to repeat the name of the book. It's called No White Lies, Black Politics and White Power in South Africa by social and political commentator and writer Kim Heller. It has certainly provided me with an awful lot of food for thought, Kim. But as you say, there are some, as you call them, uncomfortable truths in the book. And I hope that people engage with it. I think it's unhelpful for us to remain sort of in an echo chamber of whatever, on whatever side of the political sword we may fall. It's been a real treat to have you on the show. And thanks ever so much for your time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.